This week also I'm going to be preaching from some of the messages that I preached when I was in Africa, in Kenya. Now, if you were also set in on the College of Prayer material, this is the same. This is from that material. So we're going to be looking there. And the Lord teach us to pray. I've prayed this prayer. I've prayed a lot on these things and done a lot of prayer in my life. But then I found that, hey, I needed to be taught more about prayer than I didn't know as much as I thought I did. So this is kind of where this comes from. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Let's read that, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the Word. It says, Luke 11, verse 1 says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you that you are the God who not just loved us enough to send your Son Jesus to live for us and to die for us and to be our redemption, to be the one who redeemed us. But Lord, you loved us enough to also teach us how we might know you more and better. So Lord, as we come this morning, speak to us again. Might your manifest Holy Spirit be present here this morning and speak to us through your word. Lord, speak to us all here through the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, let your name be the one lifted up and glorified. Let your people here, Lord, be encouraged and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. Seems pretty simple. Seems pretty straightforward. Pretty short prayer. All in its own, you say, well, is that really a prayer? Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, they're standing there talking to Jesus. Well, what is prayer? I mean, prayer is nothing more, nothing less than a conversation with God. I've said that multiple times. They're talking to Jesus, right? That's prayer. They may not have realized they were praying at that moment when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." But as they went to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," it sounds harmless. It's 5 little words. But don't be fooled. This is really one of those prayers that can be life-changing. It can literally change life. It changed the dynamic in the lives of the disciples, and it could very well change ours. See, once you learn to pray, There's nothing that God wants you to have that you can't receive from Him. Did you hear that? Once you learn to pray, there's nothing that God has for you, that God wants for you, that you cannot receive from Him. This little prayer set in motion a whole new way of life for the disciples that can do the same for you too. So we look at this prayer. Verse 1, chapter 11 says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Now let's look at the timeline. We are approximately 2.5 years into Jesus' ministry when the disciples turn around and say one day, "Hey, teach us how to pray." 2.5 years in. Okay? They've been following Jesus this whole time. And many of them, prior to being Jesus' disciples, were, in fact, John's disciples. They said, "You know, John taught his disciples to pray. Teach us to pray. John showed us how to pray. You teach us to pray now." Why? Why? Well, what Jesus was doing was different. See, when Jesus prayed, people were healed. When Jesus prayed, people were fed. When Jesus prayed, the storm was calmed. When Jesus prayed, stuff happened. Okay? How many of us have said a prayer and really honestly expected nothing to happen? But when Jesus prayed, he expected something to happen. He knew that something was going to happen. His prayer was effective. His prayer was different. They said, "We want to pray like you. Teach us how." Well, again, what is prayer? First and foremost, it's nothing more, nothing less than a conversation with God. Again, remember, conversation. Fine. I guess I just realized I could be getting biblical here, you know, taking my feet off before God as we pray to have a conversation with Him. That's what Moses was told to do as he talked to the burning bush. That's not why I did that. I did it because my shoelace came untied. I didn't want to time doing that. But even God, you know, nothing God can't use for His glory. And even something as simple as that. Prayer is a conversation with God. See, it's a special name we've given to a special conversation. Now, most of us really don't have a conversation with God. We call God up and say, I want. Click. And God's going, I just wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to visit with you. I wanted to spend some time with you. Talk about what's happening in your life. Yeah, I know it's not all going good, but I promise you I'm going to be there with you. But we don't have time for that. Most of our prayers are, God, gimme, 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 gimme. Bye. God, I don't like what happened here. Bye. We don't talk to God, we talk at Him. You ever had anybody talk at you? Ever done that? You know, I've been on both the giving and the receiving end of that one. It's not fun to be on the receiving end of it. And when you think about it, being the one that's doing it has really no effect. It is empty, useless prayer. And that's what most people did. When the people of the day prayed, The common prayer posture of the time was looking up to God with your arms up, out in the temple square, up on the street corner so that everybody could see what you're doing, and you would go, "Oh, Holy Father, thank you." They didn't say Father. They said, "Oh, Holy God," because the whole calling God Father was new. But they would say, "Oh, God, oh, Creator of the universe, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like that person over there. I didn't do this terrible sin over there like that one or that one." You know, people would be more about self-aggrandizement. They wanted everybody to know that they were talking to God. And that's not what Jesus tells us we're supposed to be doing, but that's what they were doing. And that's not what Jesus did. When Jesus prayed, he would go away to a quiet place and spend time alone with God. Even when he prayed with the disciples, it wasn't in the same manner that everybody else did. See, it was a conversation. Jesus heard back from God. He heard from God, and he only asked for that which he heard his Father tell him that he wanted to give him. He said, "Father, give me." Yes. But he asked for that which the Father had already told him, "I want to give you this." He said, "I'm only doing that which the Father told me to do." Well, how did he tell him? He listened, and God spoke. Okay, now the disciples said, "Well, okay, this is different. This is different. Everybody around us prays, but this is different." Now, what if I said, "Teach me to perambulate"? How many of you here know what I just said? Teach me to perambulate. Come on. We've got at least one teacher here. But of course, that's not really in your vocabulary list for your students, is it? No. Okay. Perambulate. It means take a stroll. Go for a walk. I know how to walk. Not so good, though. You notice I kind of limp. I don't notice it, but boy, when I look at the video, man. I don't like watching videos of myself because I look like I'm... Well, like there's something wrong with me. Well, there is. I got the one leg shorter than the other. I don't notice it. But I had to learn how to walk different. I had to get shoes that had a lift in them so that I could walk better. I had to take physical therapy so I could learn to walk correctly. But I've been walking since I was a little kid. Well, no, you got to walk better. See, the problem is, the reason why I had to have back surgery a number of years ago, because I blew out the disc in the one side, because I was leaning to one side for 10 years, and back finally said, "Oops, not going to do that anymore." Why? Because I wasn't walking right. Now, it was getting me from point A to point B, more or less, but still wasn't right. Wasn't effective. Seen a race walker, one of these guys that they walk really fast, but it's a walk. The difference between a walk and a run, you know, the one foot comes up before the other one comes down. In a walk, your heel must strike before the toe comes off. The heel must be down before your toe comes up. And it's used to be an Olympic sport. Used to be a big deal, now it's gone, kind of thing. But you have to learn how to do that. But it's simple. It's just walking. No. It's simple. It's just prayer. No. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to do it. And Jesus is saying, teach us. You know, sometimes we need to seek instruction, something that we see all around us. We just can't manage to do it right on our own. Now, the disciples had seen many people pray, but they'd never seen anybody pray like Jesus did before. Jesus prayed at a categorically higher level. Okay? It's like the difference between me and a sprinter. Like, you know, real one? You know, I can get down that, you know, make that 100-yard dash in a good, you know, 15, 20 seconds with a tailwind going downhill. Where these guys, the 9 seconds, it's like, are you something? It's like, are you kidding me? Well, but what Jesus did was different. And the disciples saw it. They said, we want this. They really wanted it. 2.5 years of following. Jesus had taught this lesson before. Matter of fact, he taught it at the beginning of his ministry. We see it on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Now we're 2.5 in when we're in Luke 11. And the disciples are not coming to him to teach him. Now it's likely, in fact, I would almost say guaranteed, that Jesus had taught this lesson somewhere in between this too. Often he would, you know, go to different places. He would, and like any other itinerant preacher or speaker, you're basically bringing the same message every place you go for a little while till you've covered everybody, and then it's not always a brand new message every week. But he was bringing the same message, God's love, God's love, God's love. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah, it's right there. Me, he said. But yet the disciples, they hadn't learned. Jesus had taught the lesson, but they hadn't learned. Now, John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray, and the disciples begged Jesus to teach them how to pray. Because the whole dynamic was categorically higher, different from anything else they've met. Now, Jesus gives the disciples at least 4 useful prayer tools in this lesson. 4 tools. A pattern, a picture, a promise, and power. The first one is Jesus gives them is a prayer pattern. This is Luke 11, verses 2 through 4. And he said to them, When you pray, say these words, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. He said, pray this. He gave us a pattern. He said, you can pray these exact words. You can do it. You can pray, say this, or you can pray this pattern. Now, I've taught on this pattern before, you know, of the Lord's Prayer. You know, the relationship, the worship, the lordship, the sonship, the fellowship, the leadership, and the ownership of this prayer pattern. I've taught that. I've preached that message. Okay? But if you look at each part of this pattern, you know, it starts off with the relationship, our Father, goes to worship, you know, hallowed be your name, leadership, you know, we want to follow you, your will be done, you know, sonship, give me that which I need, the food that I need, the forgiveness I need, the fellowship. That's us forgiving others so that we can have fellowship with one another. Because if we don't have forgiveness, we don't have that fellowship. Again, leadership, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, and then we have ownership, which is the part that we've added. You know, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And that may not be in the text, but it's certainly something that was possibly added later. But he gave them this pattern. He said, pray this. This is the pattern that Jesus gave the disciples. And he gave it to us. And a lot of us go, I'm going to go make up my own. Really? When the disciples say, teach us to pray, Jesus said, pray this. And we don't think that's good enough? We somehow think that that's lacking? There's everything there that we need in our prayer. the relationship, the worship, the lordship, sonship. And as you go through it in order, it leads us to a point. You know, if we put our needs before God's, well, then we're really not, you know, go to that sonship part, then he's not really our Lord, is he? And we're skipping the whole relationship part, that he's our Father, and we're not worshiping. But if we do these things in order, we find that helps. So it gives us that pattern. Why? Because if you find that if I try to walk without doing things properly, if I'm picking up my foot before I get the heel down, I'm really not walking. I'm running. Or I'm skipping, or I'm doing something other than walking. We need to do things in order. I was, for lack of a better term, a gymnast in my youth. I wasn't a good gymnast. I had what was probably the world record, in my own estimation, for the slowest back handspring back flip. It was literally like watching it in slow motion. The coach could not believe that this actually occurred on the floor mat. Oh, amen. Yeah. Now, I would do my round off back handspring back flip, and it was like watching a slow motion video. But each thing had to be done in order. And I managed to do it in order, and I got it done, and I never hurt myself badly. Okay? It was all there, and I did it. But if I hadn't done it right, if I would have taken something out of order, it would have been a terrible crash. That's why he gave us the prayer pattern. Do it this way. Pray this way. Pray this. Because if we don't follow the pattern, we get things out of order. We focus on, give too much focus to something else, or we forget to something entirely that needs to be involved. If I asked you to bake a cake, I said, I want a banana angel food cake. You say, what? That's not going to work. All that moisture in that, the angel food won't rise and this and that. You'll explain to me why that you can't mix this and that because it doesn't work that way. If I'm going to want a banana cake, it needs to be a tougher, different type of thing. Somebody who knows about baking, somebody who doesn't know about baking, it'll be like the gal on, MasterChef who added gelatin to her muffins and her cupcakes, and they ended up to be like, they could have been rubber balls. Okay? You can't do certain things if you don't do them right. They need to be in order. Jesus gave us the pattern. Let's follow the pattern. Let's use the words that he gave us to use. Use that pattern that he gave us. Okay, then Jesus also gave us a picture of prayer. How we are to pray. This picture, we see in Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said, then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up and give him the bread because of his friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, that's where boldness is in the King James Version, but I like the shameless audacity even better. Because of this shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So what's the picture here? Well, remember the culture. If somebody shows up, they feed you. When I was in Africa this last time, I gained weight. The people I was with, first off, were feeding me 3 times a day, which is more than what I normally eat anyways, and it wasn't enough for me to just eat a little bit. No, you need to eat more. And why? Because I was their guest. Culturally, it was an imperative to them that they feed me. Whenever we went to visit anybody else, They had the influence from the British. So they had tea. Now, tea isn't just we're going to give you something to drink. Tea involves sandwiches, cookies, or biscuits in the British context. It's not a cookie, it's a biscuit. Looks like a cookie to me, but apparently it's a biscuit. But, you know, biscuit, I think, goes with gravy, but no. You know, different words, different meaning, same word, you know, kind of thing. Okay, so this picture. Culturally, this man has a guest show up at his house in the middle of the night, and he's got to feed him something, but he doesn't have anything. It's a cultural imperative. Somebody shows up and you truly like them, you feed them. I've shown up at some of your all houses and you've made me eat, even when I didn't want to. You say, oh, no, have something. Why? Because it's become a cultural imperative. You think you got to feed them because they show up. This is how I show that you're welcome in my home. I give you something to eat. Isn't that what we do with people that we welcome? If I don't like you, I'm not going to give you something to eat. You might stay. Right? But you're my friend. You're my guest. I want to feed you. So this guy needs something. But it's night. Middle of the night. And he goes to his friend. Help me. Oh, you know, it's too much trouble. We're in bed. The lights are off. Do you have any idea? I mean, you can't just hit the switch and turn the light. You got to, you know. They didn't even have safety matches. You got to go find a coal and blow on something to get a little ember going to light something. Or maybe strike some flint and steel or something to get a spark. You know, it's not an easy thing to just turn on the light. And the family, they were all in the same bed. And it wasn't a big house. Everything's in there with them. Not a lot of extra space. So you got to get up and over people. Well, it's too much trouble. As long as the guy's out there saying, I need it. Don't. I know you got some. Please help me. You're finally going to say, you know, it's not work. If it would just make the guy go away so I can go back to sleep, here, I will give you what you need. This is just persistence in prayer, knowing that you are the one who has what I need, and I'm not going to leave you until you give it to me. Now, God is our provider. He is the source. Okay, so we are to go to God and say, God, this is what I need. And stay there in prayer before God until He gives us what it is we need. Or until He tells us, go away. No, that is not for you. You are misinformed. That is not what I want for you. That is not my wish for you. God will tell us. He will talk to us. If we listen, if we truly pray, you know, have that conversation, talk to Him, and then listen to Him talk back to us. But boldness, audacious, saying, this is what I need. If we go up to somebody and say, you know, if it's not too much trouble, you know, if you really don't mind, if, you know, I could really, you know, never mind. Do you think I'm going to get what I asked for? No, I need to go and say, this is what I need. Okay. I need to do the pattern first, remembering that God's my Father, remembering that He's my Lord, His needs, purposes are more important, that He's holy. You know, go through this whole thing before I get to the, this is what I need. Okay. Then we have the Jesus' prayer promises. There's a promise. 9 through 12 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Jesus promises here, if you ask, I will answer. God will answer your prayer. This is a promise that He has made. Is Jesus a liar? Anybody? No. But God here has promised. promised that God will answer our prayer. Whoa! Now when I go to ask God something, I've got a promise saying He's going to answer me. Wow. Okay. Fourth tool. Power. Jesus gives prayer power. Verse 13. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus finally answers the question. The disciples want to know the secret to prayer. How do we have effective prayer? How do we pray like you, Jesus? And He's told them, pray this pattern. He said that we need to have this picture of prayer, of persistence. That we need to pray. And that there's a promise that the prayer will be answered. But the key here is the power. You want to learn the way I pray? Jesus is saying, pray with the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what's the difference between everybody else's prayer and Jesus' prayer. Jesus is praying in the power and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's a game changer. That's God speaking to God. So I've got God speaking to God, and I'm just the conduit. Yeah! That's the difference. God talks to me, tells me what I need to say, and then I tell God. And then God answers back to God, who's indwelling me through the Holy Spirit. And I just get to be involved in the whole process. I'm not doing what I want. I'm doing what God wants. It's not my will, but His will that's being done. Oh, you see some differences here. Jesus wasn't doing what He wanted. He was doing what the Father wanted. He was doing what the Holy Spirit showed Him He was to be doing. Learning to pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit is the only way you will be able to pray effectively. It is the only way to pray effectively, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you are praying according to the influence of yourself, you're not asking for what God wants. You're asking for what the flesh wants. Guess what? The likelihood of that being within God's plan is pretty small. Being within God, what God wants, is not very good. But if what you're asking for is what the Holy Spirit is showing you, is what God is telling you, this is what's supposed to happen, your odds are certain that this is what God wants. Because God has said so. And even if we don't know, well, Romans 8, 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. We can count on God, the Holy Spirit, to pray on our behalf if we just let Him. It's the Holy Spirit, people, that we need to have. That's a whole other message. And we will get to that in a couple of weeks. But right now, as you pray, remember to pray the way the Lord taught us to pray, using His pattern. Remembering to you that picture of prayer, of boldness, of being audacious. Remember the promise. God said that He would indeed answer the prayer with a blessing. You ask for an egg, is He going to give you a stone? A fish or a scorpion? You know, yeah. No. You're going to get what you need, what's good for you. Because God is good. And if you're doing this all in the power of the Holy Spirit, your prayer will truly be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not just led. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you right now and we just thank you. Now when we ask you, Lord, teach us to pray, you teach us. Even though you've taught us the lesson before, Lord, we can come back to you and you will again reteach us the lesson until we finally catch it. Lord, might we catch it this time. Might we understand what it is you want us to do. Might we indeed follow that pattern, that picture. Stand on the promise of your word and pray truly through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.